Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from a wintry Lexington, Kentucky.
And Happy New Year, everybody. I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 2nd, 2012, episode 306, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jamie, and Happy New Year.
I know. Happy New Year, Glenn. Welcome to, you know, I think you said it was blustery and freezing cold there.
Yes, it's snowing outside my window at this very moment after being almost 65 degrees yesterday.
Oh, well, you know, it was a high of 80 today, yesterday, but today it's only supposed to get up to 79. Okay, so it's going to be horrible here.
Maybe you won't sweat today. It'll just be a little bit cooler in Arizona. Hey, I got to remind everybody of something that's happening today, and it is the biggest watched horse event in the world every year. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the Tournament of Roses Parade. They did not do it yesterday because they do not do it on Sundays. So the Tournament of Roses Parade starts today at 11 o'clock on HGTV. So run over and put your DVRs on to HGTV. They do terrific coverage of it, actually. I think it's commercial-free as well. So you'll want to do that. There are 16 equestrian units, and the big highlight this year is RFD's float for Roy Rogers, and they're going to have 100 Palominos in the parade along with the float. And Trigger, of course, will be on the float, Roy Rogers' horse. And they'll be singing Roy Rogers songs along the way. And as a matter of fact, his kids will be doing that along the way on the float. So you want to tune in. It's always a fun day in Pasadena, California for the Tournament of Roses Parade. And that starts at 11 o'clock Eastern on HGTV. Just wanted to remind everybody of that.
So this is RFD's float. This has Roy Rogers' horse, Trigger, and also their dog, Bullet. And his son and grandson are going to sing Happy Trails atop the float made out of roses. And this is all because RFD bought, as I recall, the Roy Rogers kind of, well, everything, I guess.
The museum.
They're all
of his mementos in the museum. That's right. Yep.
So are they going to start doing like a Roy Rogers show or playing the episode or something?
I don't know what they're doing that way, but they take seriously their what the founder of RFD said was, we really consider ourselves not the owners but the caretakers of the Roy Rogers memorabilia. We take that responsibility seriously, and we wanted people to see them and have memories served up. So and Jennifer seems to think they are replaying the show. So it's very popular. There are over a million people that line this parade route, so there's a million people there live, and also there are over 100 million people that watch it on TV around the world, and that's why I said it's the most popular horse event, because more people will see these horses than any other event that happens all year long. So tune in.
What time does it start?
11 a.m. Eastern. So set your DVR up. And they're actually at 9:30, I think, HGTV has a more interesting show than even the parade. They have a show on the making of the float and it really shows you how all the flowers lined up for miles and how, what everything that goes into making these floats, because every square inch of every one of these floats in this parade has to be covered by an organic material. There can't be anything sticking out that's man-made. It all has to be covered by flowers or seeds or something organic every square inch. So that's what makes it so cool. Plus, they have all of the clustering units. Yeah.
How come they can put, is Trigger and Bullet, are they organic material? I mean, they're not made of roses. They're the actual, like, stuck Trigger.
Well, it's kind of organic. I don't know if they're covering them. I don't know what they're doing, to be honest with you. I don't know if they're covering. We'll find out.
Stick around. Roses Parade. I've never been a parade person, so I will try to tune in again this year. I did tune in last year just to see Madeline Pickens had a float last year for all the Wild Mustangs. So that was really cool. So I've never really been a parade person, nor have I watched them on TV, but I know it's very important to you, so I will set my DVR.
Well, we have some of our friends, or, you know, friends of the show are in that parade. We've got the All-American Cowgirl Chicks are in the parade, and several other groups that we've had on the air before here at the Horse Radio Network are in the parade, too. So for me, it's kind of like watching friends I've never met in the parade.
Gotcha.
All right, Jennifer, what's coming up? We got a new year here.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition. Join us as we usher in 2012 with a bevy of bizarre horse headlines. I've read some of them, and they are bizarre. Soon-to-be irrelevant New Year's resolutions, and a preliminary perusal of the upcoming London Olympics with our eternally entertaining Chris Stafford. Stay tuned, folks, because it's a whole new year.
That's great. Thank you very much. And, of course, it's a new year, but that doesn't mean we change some traditions around here at the Horses in the Morning Show, and this is one of them that we keep. So my Daily Whinny today goes out to Jamie Jennings. And I thought, you know, at least once a year I should give Jamie my Daily Whinny and thank her for showing up again for another year and putting up with me in 2012. So you get my Daily Whinny today.
Oh, right. Our listeners are right. When you get a Daily Whinny, it does kind of feel nice. Thank you very much. Should I give you mine?
No, you don't have to. It's all right. It's all right. If you want to get paid, you sort of have to be here. So, you know,
okay, my Daily Whinny goes to Glenn. thanks, boss, for letting me have a job. No.
Did you notice, though, the new intro at the beginning of the show? New intro this year?
You did a good job. I'm excited to see if you have another one for tomorrow, or is it just Monday morning you redid? What'd you do?
Well, the attempt is that so far it's only Monday that I redid, but I'm going to try and get them all done. Before we start the shows this week, I really like the little kid saying, take it from the top, in that one. Sounds kind of cute. All right.
Well, it definitely surprised. Good job.
All right, good. Well, hopefully there'll be more surprises as the week goes along, even if I have to stay up late for you, Jamie.
My Daily Whinny does not go to you, Glenn, sorry. It goes to one of
fired.
Favorite horses. You can't get rid of me. I won't go anywhere. So my Daily Whinny this day does go to, you know, you got to start the year out right. It goes to Zenyatta. Of course it goes to Zenyatta. She's so pregnant.
Doesn't it always go to Zenyatta the first day of every year?
Maybe not. I don't know, but she is in full. She is getting big, and she's due in a month, just about, well, a little over a month. But they're saying in February she should be having that full, and she's going to have the cutest baby ever, and I'm going to love it so much, and they're never going to let me near it, just like the actual Zenyatta.
Stalker.
But that's okay. Huh?
Stalker.
I'll be back in April, Zenyatta. I'll come and see you. anyway, well, Zenyatta, there you go. That's my Daily Whinny for the first day of the year. And I mentioned nothing about Charles, so you should be proud of me.
Yeah, I noticed you didn't mention Charles at all.
Charles, of course, being Zenyatta's handler, and he's cute. And I did not give him the Daily Whinny. I gave it to the horse.
Well, how was your vacation? Did you have a good time? I tell you what, it's always too short, isn't it? Is Monday morning rolled around, or it's like, oh, man, we should have taken this holiday off and started Tuesday.
Yeah, Monday is like the hangover from vacation. But we had a good vacation. We went to Oklahoma to spend time with Chad's family, and it was really nice. No major drama, no people fighting, no getting drunk, nobody arrested. So it was nothing at all like my family's Christmas. So it was kind of nice. There was kids there, and I guess I really haven't sat around the Christmas tree with children and seen the absolute chaos that erupts when you have five kids with Christmas presents. They were opening presents. They were ripping them open. They were opening presents that didn't belong to them. They can't read. So they were just grabbing presents and ripping them open. It's like, oh, no, no, no.
Now, welcome to Christmas with kids.
Exactly. They're like, this one's Jamie. And like the kid's mom is like trying to kind of wrap the packing around the present and just hands it to me. And of course they hand it to me and the wrapping falls off. And I'm like, oh, thanks for the thought. That's great. But it was very fun. And, you know, Christmas is one thing, but we have to get into our resolutions, Glenn.
Yeah. You know, I don't do a whole lot of resolutions because I'm not, with my ADD, I can keep a resolution for about 10 minutes before I'm on to something else. So it's kind of difficult for people with ADD to do resolutions.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that in a second because I'm not going to call them resolutions. I have changed the word resolution because that has negative connotations, just like you think I can't keep up with it. I'm going to set goals for 2011. No resolutions, goals.
Wait, hold on one second. If you're going to set them, let's set them for 2012 because goals for 2011 won't do you much good.
Oh, busted. Okay. Well, how was your Christmas?
It was great. We had a good time, too, with family. I gotta do this. So Glory, our greyhound dog that we adopted last year, got to go along for Christmas up to Pennsylvania with us in the 10-hour trip in the car and the whole thing, and got to be around Jennifer's family, who tend to be loud. It's a loud group. It's a happy, loud group, but it's nonetheless very noisy. So she got her first experience with lots of people, other dogs, wrapping paper everywhere, kids screaming, and she did great. She was just terrific. At one point during the opening of the gifts, when all the paper was rattling, and people listen to the show know she doesn't like loud noises anyway, she was underneath Jennifer's chair. She crawled behind Jennifer's chair and then attempted to crawl underneath Jennifer's rocking chair. Good thing Jennifer wasn't rocking. And that's where she stayed until the presents were done opening. She's not a big fan of wrapping paper, I can tell you that. But otherwise, she did great. She gets in the car, she lays down, and you forget she's back there. She doesn't move for 10 hours. She doesn't move. Now, we obviously stop and take her out, but she just is perfect traveler.
She's like Riddy, my old basset hound. The best day of her life was the days that I drove to Arizona, like 10, 11, 12 hours a day in the car, is like the greatest day ever for that dog.
Yeah, I know. She just, I don't know if she enjoys it or she's scared to death. I can't decide. But she just lays there. She just doesn't move. So we had a great time. We were up there visiting and then came home. And I'll tell you what, last week we did a lot of nothing. We helped at the barn a lot and hung out over there with Beaker and did that. And it was just a lovely, quiet week off. I really enjoyed it. And, but you know what? Coming back here and chatting with you every morning ain't so bad either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Don't lie to me.
Speaking of which, we have to talk about two particular movies. Let's just do that right at the top of the show because we've been promising to do our reviews. Of course, the biggest thing that happened really in the horse world over Christmas holiday was War Horse. And there's another movie I also want to talk to you about that I know you saw and Jennifer and I went to see the other day, Sherlock Holmes. So Sherlock Holmes
Fun.
The second. Yep.
Fun. I know you have ADD and you're very excited, but you did not tell me what your goals for 2012 are.
That's because I told you I don't do any.
You have to come up with a goal. We'll talk about the movies, and then as soon as we're done with the movies, you have to have thought of a goal for 2012, something to aspire to, something to get excited about, and I'm going to tell you mine, and we're going to see how we do by the end of the year. Can you do that?
Oh, All right, I'll think on it while we talk about the movies.
Okay. Please. I put a lot of thought into mine, okay? I want to talk about goals, and so you have to have one. Jennifer, I want you to think of one, too, okay? I want you to think of one, too, and we're going to get to it after the whole movie talk.
All right, we'll do that. War Horse. Okay, so you saw it on Christmas Day. Did you drag your hubby along?
I not only drug my husband along, I drug my mother and father-in-law along. And the movie was with me on the left, Chad sitting next to me, and his mother to his right. And we just basically set the box of tissues in Chad's lap. And it was me with my right arm grabbing tissue and his mom with the left arm grabbing the tissue. And we had a nice, healthy pile by the end of the movie.
Well, I want to say before we get started here that we're going to try and do this without any spoilers. This will be spoiler-free, so you can continue listening. But we're going to attempt to do that. And I do have some of the feedback that we have gotten from various listeners as well. So I'll go through some of that. But so what was your overall impression? First of all, let's just say right off the top, out of 5 flakes in a bale, what would you give it?
4.5.
All right, I'll give it a 4. I give it 4 flakes. Maybe even 3.5 flakes. I may even go to 3.5 flakes. Not quite 4. But
okay.
So what'd you think?
I got to tell you that I went into that having no expectations because I knew none of the end of the movie. I had no idea if it was going to be a happy ending, a sad ending. I just had no clue, and I'm not going to ruin it for anybody. But, you know, the reason it didn't get all my flakes was because there are a couple winnies in there that were, you know.
A couple?
A little...
at the beginning of the movie. I think I stopped counting at 68 fake movie winnies, and that was 10 minutes in.
I know. I don't understand why Hollywood thinks that they need to place winnies in. You know, the animals are not like that. They don't do that. So it's kind of frustrating to sit here and listen to a horse whinny while it's eating. I mean, the whinny thing was just ridiculous. The rest of the movie, I thought, was emotional. I thought it was... The horses were spectacular. The training was amazing. The storyline is fantastic. The pull of your heartstrings thing is just out of control. And, you know, I loved it. I will go see it again. I did recommend some friends of mine. They have a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old. And I said the 12-year-old can go, but there are some scenes that might be a little brutal for an 8-year-old. And there's that pullback scene from the battle that I'm talking about that's just crushing, you know, it's just devastating. So to see that, I mean, guys, it's a movie about war with a horse involved. So there's going to be scenes that are going to be tough for young children to watch. So I don't think young kids should go. But I thought, you know, it's a Hollywood horse movie. There's going to be, for us horse people, some stuff that we don't want to see because we know horses so well. But I thought overall, you know, they had me going. I believe. It's like a Disney horse movie with war and crying, and I bought into it. I loved it, but I like to buy into stuff like that, and it was wonderful. So there. What do you
think? Did your husband? Well, let me ask you a question. Did your husband cry at all?
No, he did not cry. Chad's mother cried, and my father-in-law really enjoyed it as well. So the non-horse people actually really liked it. Chad's mom loved it. Chad liked it. Chad's dad liked it. So if you can put aside the whinnies, I think it's a fantastic movie.
I agree with you. I thought it, you know, I'm going to get hate mail now. But I didn't think it was the greatest movie I've ever seen.
Right.
I did not cry. I think partly because it was so built up, and I expected to see much worse in the movie than there actually was. It was very Disney-fied. It was a very Disney movie. I thought some of the parts of the movie, I'm going to take the critical side of this, Jamie. I thought some of the parts of the movie were over the top. Some of the music and the drama and some of the the scenes, and I won't go into which ones they were just over the top. I just thought it was, they were trying, this is what I think that's where Spielberg made a mistake. He was trying to create an epic movie. Epic movies happen because they're good movies and they become epic. You can't create an epic movie. And I really thought he was trying to go back to the Ben-Hur days and create an epic movie. And I was kind of disappointed in that. I thought it was just kind of over the top as far as the music and the cinematography was beautiful. But some of the scenes just seemed to drag on, I thought. And, you know, the one part, there was a part that I might have gotten a little teary-eyed towards the end, mm-hmm. but it actually didn't involve a horse, surprisingly enough. And I think we won't say what it was, but I think you probably know which one I'm talking about and involved the person. So, but I thought Jennifer didn't go because she just couldn't go see it because she was afraid of the whole tissue box thing. But yet I don't think that, I think she could have went to see it. You know, I think that, I don't know, you cried a lot during this movie, and I think because I expected it to be a war movie that those scenes didn't bother me. I expected those scenes.
I got to tell you, the separation here is the fact that those big sweeping cinematography moments with the, you know, there's scenes in here that it's like, hey, we're going to make you cry, but let's think of how many reasons we can give you to cry in this moment. It's like pile on one thing after another. It's like, he has this and the horse is this, and then we're going to throw this part into it. And it was like stacking emotional things on. But here's the fundamental difference, Glenn. The reason I cried and you were like, this is over the top, is because you're a boy and I'm a girl. And girls love stuff over the top. And I loved the sweeping orchestra music and the cinematography and the just over the top one thing after another. And you probably, it was enough to make you push back and go, oh, come on, are you?
Well, I'm not the only one. Because your sister with a different mother, Aubrey, just posted on Facebook, and this is what I'm trying to say. I'm going to read this. Glenn, I'm on your side on Warhorse. The incongruities drove me crazy. Saddles shouldn't disappear randomly. Halters don't magically reappear on horses' noses once they've fallen off. And the Germans and French, etc., do not speak English with no German accents whatsoever. Drove me too nuts to make me cry. So Aubrey kind of disagrees with you. There were a lot of incongruities. And, us being horse people, nobody that's not a horse person is going to notice that the halter has changed in the same scene three times or that, you know, that the saddle is different. Or they're not going to notice that stuff. We notice it because we're horse people and we're picky. But you know, yeah. Nobody else is going to notice that stuff. But I kind of agree with Aubrey on that one.
See, I didn't notice that stuff because I wasn't looking for mistakes. I didn't go in there with a negative attitude because I'll tell you what, Aubrey, you have to put that stuff aside. If the Germans and French in the movie had spoken German and French, we wouldn't have watched it because it would have been playing over in Europe. Because I'm sorry, it's a horse movie for people that are in America. If they spoke German and they spoke French, it would all be subtitles, and we'd be talking about a completely different movie on the Independent Film Network. So keep in mind that. The other thing is, don't look for that stuff. I swear to you, horse people love to hate stuff. They love to you go to any barn or any tack shop and sit there and listen to women talk, and they will go, oh my gosh, she just cannot ride that horse out of a paper bag, and oh, I hate this saddle, it just blah blah blah. I mean, negativity abounds in the horse world when it comes to looking at other people's stuff. Of course, we all deny negativity when it comes to our own horses and our own stuff and our own trailers, trucks, blah blah blah. Everything's perfect for us. However, like, I gotta say that I'm kind of understanding why people said this, and a lot of people that read the book hated the movie. And
yeah,
the reason they hated the movie was because there's so much more that you can delve into emotionally in a book. And I think of, before you jump in, I think of the book Black Beauty. I love that book more than anything. It's my favorite book of all time, yet I have never seen a movie that comes close to portraying the Black Beauty that I love. So the people that love this book, I haven't read the book, so I could sit there, and I didn't read it on purpose because I wanted to enjoy the movie. I can sit there and watch the movie without knowing, oh, they screwed that up. Oh, they screwed that up. Oh, the stupid halter. Oh, the saddle's different. I didn't look at that stuff. Maybe I will the second time. Who knows?
Well, and see, that it was interesting because our listener, Jen, posted, the movie might have felt a little over Disney-fied to me, but I enjoyed it. Hard to live up to the magic of the puppets in the play. She also saw the play, which were so original and captivating. I think I need to see the film a second time so that I stop running comparisons. So she conceded that that's what she was doing. And then she added, oh, and this is a spoiler to talk about the fake Winnies. So she threw that one in there, too. But, you know, the listeners were, it was very interesting. And I don't know if you noticed, Tom Brittenhouse brought up that when he went to see it, he's not a horse guy. When he went to see it, that the average age in the audience was like 60, and that was the same with us, too. It was, when we went to see it, it was almost full. It was in Pennsylvania, day after Christmas, but the average age was a lot older than any movie I've been to in a long time. And I think that was because of the World War I thing. Everybody in there knew, had a parent that was probably alive during World War I. But, you know, I thought that was interesting. Katie Livingood didn't like it at all. You know, she had some rather interesting things to say about the movie. But, you know, I think you're right. I think that we tend to be overly critical of movies that involve horses. Now, on that note, you know, I'm not going to get off War Horse, but I have to bring this out. We saw the first Sherlock Holmes, and I wasn't a big fan. I didn't really like the first Sherlock Holmes. I thought it was okay. So I reluctantly went to see the second Sherlock Holmes with Jennifer yesterday, and oh my God, I loved that movie. And now I'm not going to give a spoiler away here, but the pony scene was one of the most hilarious horse scenes I've ever seen in film.
It was great, and
you have to agree with that. It was hilarious.
Oh. It was absolutely hysterical. I was laughing out loud in the theater, and there's some, like, the camouflage scenes cracked me up. The movie was really good. I did like it. I think I was just too close to the screen to really be able to sit back and absorb it. But oh my gosh, the pony scene is fantastic. You're right. Great.
Yeah. Oh, that ranks up there in the top five horse scenes in any movie. It was just hilarious. It was so funny.
And then
so well done.
I was curious of what you thought about the Rachel McAdams scene.
I'm trying to think of which scene that was.
Exactly. She's not in very much of it. I love her. I wanted her to be in the movie more, but guess not. I won't spoil it.
She wasn't in it very much.
Nope.
No. You're right. But it was a good movie. Did you like that? Did you like Sherlock Holmes?
I did. I did like it. I mean, I saw the first one so long ago that I was just kind of, it wasn't even like, it wasn't even a follow-up because it was like a whole new movie to me because I saw the other one so long ago.
Yeah, I agree. It did feel like that for me too. And Jennifer said, you know, I really didn't like the first one. She said she thought the first one was better. So I maybe got to go back and watch the first one now. Maybe I'll appreciate it more. But I was actually, when I was watching the Sherlock Holmes movie, because now I guess because I'm a morning talk show host on a horse radio show, I was watching all the horse scenes and the carriages. And, of course, me being a carriage guy, I was watching all the carriage things. And I was looking at details. And I'd really love to see this movie again when it comes out on video, because the details on the bridles and the harnesses, everything, I couldn't find any anachronisms in the Sherlock Holmes movie. They did a great job with that. I was impressed. I was really impressed.
Well, great. You can go see Sherlock Holmes again, and I'll go see War Horse again, because I am a true horsewoman, and I want to see the movie about the horse. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? You didn't cry in that movie? How did you not cry in War Horse when the other horse does that thing, and then he does that thing, and then he gallops off?
I really think there's a gender gap, because I was looking at the audience I was with, and the females were crying, and the guys weren't. And, you know, we cry at movies.
How could you not cry when the horse is running?
Private Ryan is what we cry at.
and then the thing happens, and then those two guys come out with the little cutters, and then that part comes, oh my God, how could you not cry? And then the very end, when this is happening and that other thing happens, oh my God, how could you not cry? I actually walked out of the theater. I stayed to see the very end because I wanted to see, like, where it was filmed and, you know, who the horse master was. Chad's family was standing outside the theater. I walked out of the dark movie theater with a pair of sunglasses on and walked to the bathroom. I had to pee halfway through it. I held it. I could not get up.
I think, actually, I would consider this a chick flick war movie.
Good point.
It was a chick flick war movie. I think it went to that point where it was so Disney-fied, I think it was a chick flick war movie.
It's supposed to be. It's a horse movie.
About to do the
about
commercial.
A relationship with a boy and his horse. Okay, of course it's going to be something that women are going to love and guys are going to roll their eyes at. I don't care what you think. All right, basically, go see the movie. Just don't look for all the stupid stuff.
I do think
just
it's worth seeing
and
the
enjoy
movie.
It. Huh?
I do think it's worth seeing the movie. I do think it is worth seeing the movie.
Okay. Well, I don't care what you think anyway. thank you so much to Omega Alpha for being today's sponsor. And, of course, you know, we all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies, and that's why Omega Alpha only uses natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. And the other difference with Omega Alpha is the science that goes into their products. Dr. Gordon Chang is well-respected in the industry. He's a pioneer of putting in the right natural ingredients together to make formulations that work for you and your horse. They have a wide range of products to help, so see them all at OmegaAlpha.ca. That is OmegaAlpha.ca. We use their products. We love it. So check it out, OmegaAlpha.ca.
All right. Well, our first guest of the year. Hold on here a second.
Yes.
Sorry, Jamie, I was about to sneeze.
Oh. I'm like, what's the suspense?
Our first guest of the year, sorry about that, is Chris Stafford, of course, of the Horse Radio Network and the eventing and jumping and dressage shows and also Equestrian Legends. And, you know, I thought, what's the biggest event, horse event of the year going to be? And, of course, it's the Olympics coming up in London this year, and we thought we would have Chris on to talk about that. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie.
Chris, I must ask the first most important question. Have you seen War Horse, and did you like it?
Is that the most important question of the day?
Yes.
It is. That's what we're talking about. That's right.
Well, as Glenn would tell you, I wasn't really fit to go very far from home for about almost 2 weeks now. I haven't done very much. So old war wounds myself.
Drinking too much? Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, well, I have such a reputation for that, don't I, Glenn?
Yeah. The teetotaler.
I had a back in my old riding injury came back and to bite me. Just in time for Christmas, so that's how I spent Christmas, unfortunately. But there's a number of movies I want to see, a number of them. War Horse, we talked about before. I saw the play in the West End in London a few years ago, and I hastily read both the children's book, the original book, and the play on the flight back home. So I got very absorbed in War Horse. So, yeah, it's on my one to visit, one to see when I can sit for that long. And also there's a handful of other films I want to see, too.
Yeah, there's some good ones out. Okay, Olympics. Go ahead, Glenn. Sorry to interrupt.
All right, well, Chris, now you have seen several of them. How many have you been to?
Well, I've actually attended two. I've covered many Olympics, many. But I actually attended Atlanta in 98 and Sydney in 2000. They are... I think, and I've talked to people recently who reflect on the recent Olympics, and unanimously they agree that the Sydney Olympics was one of the best. It was such a friendly Olympics. You know, the Aussies being as friendly as they are, they really put on a fantastic show and made everybody feel so welcome. So I was delighted that I did the 2000 Olympics down there in Sydney. On the other side, covered remotely, which of course, you can do so easily these days. But we will be, as you know, there at the London Olympics this year. It's going to be a big deal for the Horse Radio Network because all of my shows are going to, well, jumping, dressage, and eventing. The three Olympic disciplines will be extensively covered.
Chris, I wanted to know, what am I supposed to pack? I need a list. I need some information on what I'm supposed to bring. What's the weather going to be like? Because I think London's going to be great.
Right. Well, I'll send that all to you in an email. It's obviously a long inventory that you need to start prepare now. So what's your email, Jamie?
Yeah, go ahead and send that to me, Jamie Horse Radio Network. And Glenn, I do need your credit card information to go ahead and book those tickets. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll get that right over to you.
Well,
no
hold
problem.
On a minute. Hold on. Once I've had it, Jamie, then I'll pass it on to you, okay?
Oh, okay, sounds good.
So when is it this year? When will the horse events be held for the Olympics?
They are at the end of July, 26th and 8th, I think it is, that weekend, the Saturday, I believe, whatever that is, the last Saturday of the month.
Okay.
In July. And, of course, the three Olympic disciplines are all going to take part in Greenwich Park, which is in the east of London, just south of the river. I mean, literally right on the river, actually. And it's an area I know pretty well because I lived in London for a number of years, and that's where I used to go down on a Sunday, get on a boat and go down the Thames and just hang out at the park. It's a beautiful park, and, you know, there's some good pubs in the area. So I pretty much know the park inch by inch, really. So it'll be interesting to see it transformed as an Olympic venue.
Yeah, this is going to be fun for you because this is really home stomping ground. And I wanted to ask you now, you know, over here in the United States, we think of England as a dreary, wet place. Is it dreary and wet that time of year, or do you actually get some dry days?
Oh, very much so, yeah. And it doesn't always rain. It's Ireland you're thinking of where it always rains, Glenn. not England, not always, no. And no, it can be beautiful. Sometimes we can have very dry summers there. So I think it will be a challenge because of the limitations they have for the cross-country course to have the footing as perfect as it can be, because they have so many restrictions on what they can and cannot do because it's all part of English heritage property. And the arena itself is not going to be so difficult. They're going to raise all the buildings so, you know, that they leave the soil itself, the ground, as intact as possible. It's a challenging venue, to say the least. It'll be interesting to see how they pull it off.
Now, do they run, it's dressage, jumping, and eventing. Do they run them concurrently, or is it one right after another? How does that work?
It's usually one right after the other.
Okay.
I don't have the schedule right
so
in front of me.
They'll use the same stadium for dressage and jumping. They don't have to build two.
Correct. It's just one stadium right there by the Naval Academy, which is right on the riverbank, the River Thames riverbank. And they've transformed that. They're still working on the footing because they had a test event, as you know, in 2011, which they have to test all the facilities. And the one thing they still have to work on is the footing. So, yes, it will be the same arena, same footing for dressage and show jumping, for eventing and for show jumping.
You know what's so cool about this is that the Olympics are being held in a country that horse sports are very popular. So that's going to be kind of neat because they've been held in places before where the audience went to see them, but it wasn't with the vigor that's going to happen in England because of their heritage of loving horse sports. And I think that's going to bring a new dimension to the Olympics this year. What do you agree? Or?
Well, certainly there's the enthusiasm and the support by the home crowd, no doubt. But the challenge has been for everyone, not least of all for the English, is that they cannot get the tickets. There have been, you know, quotas on the ticket sales, and only a limited number of people are going to be allowed in the park for the cross-country phase of eventing. So that has been somewhat frustrating. A lot of people who thought, oh, yes, it's going to be happening here in my backyard, I'll get a ticket. Well, it isn't happening like that. And if you read articles of how they've allocated the tickets, that makes sense. But if you've been wanting to go to the Olympics because it's in your home country, it could be frustrating. And I know it has been for a lot of people. So, you know, I think the enthusiasm will be there, and there'll be extensive coverage. Of course, the BBC has so many channels of its own, both TV and radio channels, that it'll be extensively covered and carried worldwide. But I think in terms of attendance, it has its limitations for the equestrian event, simply because they won't allow beyond a certain number of people to walk on the park for cross-country. And then, obviously, the ticket allocation for the stadium is limited by the number of seats they put in there. So it will be interesting to see really how many nations are represented at the end of the day, because they've had a way of allocating the tickets, you know, in terms of the nations and then the national federations. And
well,
there's a special distribution.
To me, that actually sounds like it might be pretty good, and I'll tell you why. I lived in Atlanta when the Olympics were there in 1996, and my girlfriends and I, we all had tickets to go see the eventing show jumping section. The final day of the eventing, the culmination of the three-day event, it's the Olympics. We're all so excited, and we strike out. We left, you know, a couple hours early trying to get there. I'm not kidding you. We could not get in the parking lot at the Conyers mm-hmm. International Horse Park. And we, yes. By the time we got in to the event, there was like five rides left, because the traffic was a nightmare. There was way too many people. They sold way too many tickets without having parking and without having places to go. There's only one exit off the freeway. It was a nightmare. And we only got to see five rides of the Olympics and paid a lot of money for the tickets. So maybe that's going to be a better thing for the people that actually are going to the Olympics.
Well, yes, I hear you. I was there. I understand what you went through. Fortunately, you know, we in the media, we, as you know, we got ahead of the game by being shipped in. But I think with the interesting part of Greenwich is going to be how they move the traffic. And I hope they, I really, really hope, and I hope Seb Coe is listening, who Sebastian Coe, who's the head of the London Olympics. I hope he's listening, because I think the most effective way. I'm sure he is listening. I told him we were going to be talking about this today. Yeah, really. The river is an amazing resource, of course, there for traffic. And, you know, on a normal day, you can get a boat and go down the river, you know, pretty much any time all year round. And it takes you, you know, right from central London down the river. And it's a lovely, lovely ride down the river to Greenwich for the day. Because the roads over there, and that was the one thing that concerned me when I heard that London had won the bid, there's such congestion in that area around London, and certainly going down, there's limited roads from central London down to Greenwich, and there's going to be the most awful congestion. So I do hope they utilize the river to bring the traffic out of central London. And in fact, it was one of the things that I was considering, you know, when I'm staying in central London, is how I was going to get out there. And there is, of course, the public transportation. There's the Docklands Light Railway and the Underground. A combination of those will get you out to Greenwich. But the river is a wonderful resource, and it's a beautiful way to get down to Greenwich if you're not in too much of a hurry, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well,
all right.
That's good. I like it. What do you think, Glenn?
Obviously I looked at the map, and you're right. There's not a lot of major roads that go near where the park is, so I thought that was going to be an issue too. Let's get to talking a little bit about the teams. Let's pick a sport here. Let's pick eventing, and what countries are we looking at? The Germans and the English and the British this year? What are we looking at?
Well, you can't not look at the English on their home soil, and they have tremendous depth in their four-star artillery, if you will. And I think they were going to be very, very tough to beat, because they have such depth, and that course is going to suit them really well. But then the Germans too, although they've been selling some of their top horses recently, not least of all over here, they're going to be very difficult to beat too. Of course, they are the reigning champions, both individual and team. They both won everything in Hong Kong, of course, in 2008. So they're going to be very, very difficult to, I think it will be a challenge, you know, between those two for the dressage phase. And I think at the end of the day, the time is going to be very tight. It's going to be very hard to get that time, because the park there is on a steep hill. It's really quite an endurance competition in of itself. So, and it's going to be very twisty, very, very twisty to get the number of fences into that concentrated area, it's going to be very twisty, so time is going to be of the essence. So I think it's going to be mainly between Great Britain and Germany. France may surprise us, of course. They're always there in the reckoning, and there may be some individual surprises too.
Like the U.S.? Hello. I'm pulling for my home country. Got to do it. I did see, however, Chris, going over to show jumping, that Saudi Arabia did just qualify for the Olympic show jumping.
Well, yes, because they buy so many of European horses, it's very easy for them to put together a team. You know, this is what happens. A lot of the lesser known nations tend to do a shopping spree before, so they can qualify before January 1st and get a team to go to the games. So, you know, there's always those others that, you know, are going to make the competition interesting because they've got good horses. If they can ride both sides of them, then they're going to be competitive up until the last day.
Oil, money,
I haven't heard
hard
that term
work.
In a long time, Jamie. Ride both sides of them. I haven't heard that term in a long time.
Well, I did, you know, I was reading this and I was seeing, okay, six riders of the Saudi equestrian team, a couple of them are princes. And it kind of makes sense if you say that they might have purchased.
I thought that's why you wanted to go, Jamie. Isn't that why you want to
psych it? Meet some princes. No, I'm good. I did find out too that a lot of the fighter pilots that are here, they come in to Luke Air Force Base, and my husband is an instructor, and they teach a lot of the princes from other countries. So it's kind of like, here, I'm going to get you this horse, and oh, you want to fly jets? Okay, we'll send you over. It's kind of interesting how money can come into play.
Certainly does in the Middle East, for sure. This, especially in a pre-Olympic year, for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, I have to put a plug in for the Jumping Dressage and Eventing radio shows, if I may, and that is that we will be covering extensively the Olympic lead up to the Olympics with all kinds of different segments. So I think it's going to be, a main focus is going to be on the Olympics this year as the big event. But we have to keep in mind, of course, that the majority of our listeners are never going to ride at Olympic level. But we do want to make this interesting for them because they often, these Olympic riders are the role models. So we're going to hear from a lot of past champions in the three disciplines. We're going to have some quizzes. We're going to have all kinds of Olympic-themed segments on all of my shows this year.
Well, that's great. We're looking forward to it, Chris. And before we let you go, I did want to say that I always do a Horse Radio Network show highlight. The show that we're highlighting, another show on the network every day, and yours, one of yours, is the highlight today. I'll do it a little early while you're here. And that's Equestrian Legends that came out this morning, episode 13, endurance rider Julie, is it Sewer?
Sure,
yes. I enjoyed this one probably as much as any of the others. She is a fascinating woman and does not at all sound like she's 80-some years old.
A wonderful, wonderful, inspirational lady, isn't she?
She was great. And she's an endurance rider, has competed in over 30,000 miles of competition. And the fascinating part about that I found is this is a woman that when she started having kids in the early 20s, she didn't ride a horse for 20 years. She only started this when she was like almost in her 40s. What an amazing feat to do that starting in, really after your kids have grown.
Yes, and continues to. And her daughter Barbara, too, is an endurance rider. So maintaining the family tradition there, but an incredible story. And you, as you've listened to it, Glenn, you'll know that she's now writing another book. She's written one about her story so far, but that was published in 2002 called 10 Feet Tall Still. And she's now writing another book. And, amazing motivation and energy right up there in her late 80s. Good luck to her.
Currently riding, I might add. I'm reading this, and I'm she rode in the Tevis Cup at age 76 and then attempted it again 4 years later at 80. So this is an amazing woman. I can't wait to listen to it.
Yes, it is amazing. And it's an inspiration, Jamie, for all of us that, if we can keep going, to keep going. Because she has proved, how possible it is. A wonderful, motivational, and inspirational story.
Cool.
And it's a neat story too, if we could get away from the horse thing a little bit. It's a neat story of a couple that spent a lifetime together. I thought that was an interesting part of that story as well, and you'll hear that. Just head on over to horseradionetwork.com and go to Equestrian Legends episode number 13. Good job with that one, Chris.
Thank you, Glenn, and a happy Olympic year to you both.
Happy
right,
New Year, happy,
happy New
Olympic
year.
Year.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go, a little look ahead at the Olympics and where they're having them. Of course, she's very familiar. We couldn't think of anybody better to have on because she's lived there. She lived there, so she knows that area pretty well. Well, we're going to continue doing a song every day because that gives Jamie and I a little tiny break, and we love hearing the songs. And today I'm going to start with Templeton Thompson and her song. I thought it would be appropriate to play her song, Guardian Angel, and we all hope you have one for the year 2012. And this song is sponsored by Pocket Stable. You know, it's 2012. It's time to, you know, I got to say, you know, you asked me about a goal, not a resolution, but a goal for this year. One of my goals this year, because of my severe ADD, is to be more organized. Now, the unfortunate part of that particular goal is I have it every year, and every year I fail miserably. So this year, you're going to help me keep on track, Jamie. I'm assigning you the task of helping me keep my goal. See, you notice how I'm turning this around to your problem?
Yeah, it's my fault.
Yeah, you asked for it. So you have to help me keep my goal. I'm trying to be more organized. I'm trying to do my to-do lists every day. Which I haven't started yet today. See, I've already failed at my goal. See, that's the problem.
Focus, Glenn. Focus. Pocket Stable.
All right.
Pocket Stable.
Pocket Stable will help you organize for this year. That's why I brought that up. Because for 2012, if one of your resolutions/goals is to be more organized, then you need PocketStable.com. Because it's going to help you be more organized with your horses. And you're going to be able to keep track of all the information that you need to keep track of, vaccines and worming and farrier visits and dentist visits. And it doesn't matter whether you have one horse or 8 horses. You want to keep track of it all on PocketStable.com. It's only $3.99. Go buy it in the App Store today or go to PocketStable.com. And now, Guardian Angel by Templeton Thompson.
She could have passed for a cowboy the way she carried herself. And that 50 pounds of leather, put it up on that pony, light as a feather, like she'd done it all her life. And she asked if I was ready, handing me the reins, and we started out walking. Up until that morning, she hadn't been much on talking. Guess it finally come the time, and she said, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you're made of till you ride out on your own.
Till you're right out on your own. Ooh, baby.
That is Templeton Thompson, Guardian Angel, here on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha. And we did forget, Glenn, to mention the fact that we have been playing Words with Friends with Chris Stafford of the Eventing Radio Show, and she has absolutely whipped our butt. My God, she's a journalist.
Well, I knew that we were going to – you had told me about Words with Friends, and I had never played it before the Christmas break. And we decided that today, at the end of today's show, we were going to actually start our first game, you and I competing, and we're going to give a daily update. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But to practice, I have been playing with other people, and Chris was one of them. And you're right. She is just – everybody has kicked my butt. I haven't been able to – there must be a trick. Now, I never played Scrabble. Did you ever play Scrabble?
No, I've never been a Scrabble player.
See, that's the problem. Is I think you and I we were at a disadvantage because they all really get the double letter, triple word thing, and you know really use that. I hate it, and I'm sure you do the same thing. Last night I was screaming at my phone. Jennifer was like, "What are you doing?" When they come back with a four letter word and it's worth 50 points, and I'm going, "How do they do that?"
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the super triple word, super thing, yes. And they put it in the certain spots, and then, you know, four-letter word becomes 50 points, and they got it up next to, I'm sorry, like QI is not a word, okay? But these are things that people are using against us. Now, what we've decided to do is we are going to break it down. I have been known now in my week of playing Scrabble to be the three-letter word master. I can play the word dog. I am awesome at the word cat. I have played not the word acepromazine, the word ace. I have played or and at and in. I am awesome at those things. So I think that we are going to have quite the epic four-letter to three-letter word battle, Glenn. It's going to be
good. I agree. And I can do five-letter words, but they're all every letter is worth a point. It's like I still only end up with 5 points.
Yeah, exactly.
But, okay, so we're going to start this now. I'm going to throw you a curveball about how we play this game when we get to it in a few minutes. But let's do the weekend roundup, and let's remind everybody, really bad ads on Friday. Get your really bad ads in. Start checking Craigslist. There's probably some good ones coming up. It's wintertime. People are desperate to get rid of horses and things from the barn. So get your really bad ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for Friday's show.
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
Well, if I can have the first story,
yep.
Glenn, I would like to tell everybody a little bit. I know you've got a story about rapid redux, and I want to do mine first because it kind of leads into yours. Retirement is looming for rapid redux. The horse, of course, that won 19, 20 in a row last year, and they were trying to fit it into another race by the end of the year. However, they were unable to find one that was kind of going to work for his record and the distances and the money and all that. So they ended up not running him. He is scheduled to run in a race this coming year, I guess in a week or two. But I would like to tell you that they are currently looking for a permanent home, a permanent retirement home for Rapid Redux. And, of course, I immediately was like, oh, my gosh, I will totally adopt him. Well, they want a facility where the gelding can be exposed to the public and a place where, you know, his on-the-track exploits can generate publicity for retirement centers. So they're doing something really cool for Rapid Redux. Not only are they finding him a fantastic home and place for him to retire, they're also, because he is a gelding, he's not going to breed, they are also looking for a place where he can kind of speak for retired racehorses. He says he has been contacted, and when I say he, as well as the trainer, owner, he has been contacted by Cantor of South Carolina. He's been contacted by old friends and through third-party representatives by the Kentucky Horse Park. So when we
don't you think
said
that would be the perfect place? That's what
well,
I
Well, the
thinking.
Problem, I mean, obviously for him to get to the Kentucky Horse Park, that's a fantastic life, but he won't really be able to help the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And that's what Wells really wants to do, is kind of really help the retirement foundations, not just show them off to the public. So, I mean, unless they were to take the horse, Rapid Redux, into the Kentucky Horse Park and set up a fund where people can donate, They really just want to help out the retirement community, the retirement places for thoroughbreds. So he is saying that he's gonna run one or two races, but the crux of this article from the Blood Horse is that they really think that he should be voted for the Eclipse Award for Horse of the Year. And they kind of keep going down in the conversation that he believes it's very legitimate for his horse. Of course, the horse won 27 of 41 career starts, 20 races in 1 year. They say that the award is for the Horse of the Year, not Elite Horse of the Year. And how
do you argue that? But. Let's talk about the races he's running. Let's talk about, okay, so he's will try for his 22nd straight victory on Wednesday, this Wednesday, in the sixth race at Laurel Park, which is a $17,000 starter allowance.
Yeah. You have to realize 21 consecutive wins. Consecutive. And I do understand
$5,000 claimers.
He's outclassing the field, but he definitely, as they show, he showed up. They said that this horse showed up every single day, no matter what. He was always there. He always was winning. He was sound. He was good to go. So anyway, it's just interesting. They think that they should get it, but they are hoping for any award for Rapid Redux. And, of course, he's one of the four horses in the running for the Secretariat Vox Populi Award that Zenyatta won last year, the award created by Penny Chenery. So you can go to secretariat.com. Listen to the horses that are in the finalists for this are Rapid Redux, Gold Dakova, Havre de Grace, and Uncle Mo. Really hard to vote for anybody over some of those names. You know, we love Havre de Grace, so it's kind of hard to vote. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough race.
Well, the racing industry did pretty well last year, which is good news for a change. Charlestown up in West Virginia, Jennifer and I have been there a few times, and they are a casino track now. It's Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. They showed a 14.5% increase in gross paramutual betting in 2011. So their amount of paramutual betting actually went up 14%, and that includes the races at their own track and also at tracks around the country. So Charlestown saw an increase in its handle. I was curious about that because, you know, obviously the concern is when you put in a casino, you're drawing a lot more people, but does anybody even care about the horse races anymore? And apparently it's showing a little bit of an increase there in Charlestown, a lot of increase actually for a recession year, 15%. So good job for them.
Absolutely. Speaking of money, Glenn, this is the way to make it. Just find one of these things and sell it at an auction. Now, this was not found, but a 400-year-old painting of a rearing stallion, and it's like one of those quarter horse photos where they take it from the back. It's a rearing stallion painted by a Dutch master, Sir Anthony van Dyck, comes up for auction at Christie's in New York, January 25th. It's really beautiful painting of this buckskin that's like it looks like a war horse and he's rearing. They're estimating it to sell for $3.5 million.
It ain't that nice.
Let me say that number again. $3.5 million. Now, granted, it's 400 years old. It's really beautiful. But, yeah, good luck to the person that sells it. And, better, you know, again, it's the day two idiots meet. When you ask for $3.5 million and when somebody gives it to you. So,
and I'm looking at the picture. I'm looking at the painting here. That horse needs a diet. Let me tell you, it makes Beaker look skinny.
Whew. He is a bit of a threat for thyroid problems, okay? So he could be
insulin resistant. Speaking of money, the United States Mint is going to be honoring a horse, believe it or not. They're going to be coming out with a 2012 Native American $1 coin. By the way, I hate those dollar coins. I keep getting them confused with the quarters, but that's beside the story. It'll feature an image of a horse and a Native American in the profile. It's on the reverse side. It's celebrating the significance of horses throughout the period of history in the United States. And it actually shows a Native American and a horse head, and then down below you see horses running in the background. So it represents the historical spread of the horse in America. So there's going to be a horse on a coin, the new dollar coin for 2012.
I know. I love that. And I love the actual picture of the coin. We'll post it on Facebook. It's really cute. It's this Native American and all the headdress. And the horse standing next to him comes out, and you can see that he's got war paint around his eye. It's a really cute coin. I like it. I don't think I'd get those confused quarters, and I don't think I'd be able to spend them. I can part with them. They're kind of neat. The horse.com put out a top five horse health resolutions to keep in 2012. And just to go over them real quick, they're kind of cool. I love this idea. Resolution number one, resolve to respect your horse's breathing zone. And what they're calling the breathing zone is a 2-foot sphere around your horse's nose where they draw their breath. And you need to respect it by give your horse a dust-free breathing zone, more pasture time, less barn time, more fresh bedding, using low dust bedding and keep it clean, and use feeds with the least amount of dust, pasture, leafy new hay, pelleted complete feed. I even water down my pelleted feed. So that's what they're saying. Respect your horse's breathing zone. Glenn, number two, we just talked about this with Pocket Stable. Resolve to discuss appropriate vaccination and deworming strategies with your veterinarian. And on a side note, keep track of them with Pocket Stable. It's no good if you have done the shots if you don't know when the heck you did them. So make sure you discuss it with your vet and create something and stick to it. I just did number three, and Jennifer, I'd be curious to see what you have in your proper first aid kit. They are saying that you should have a first aid kit, that's your resolution, to create and maintain it and keep it in the barn and have it ready to go. If you don't know, have knowledge of how to use your first aid kit, including measuring pulse, respiratory rate, taking the temperature. What do you have in your first aid kit, Jen?
Let's see. I have vet wrap that has atrophied into a solid pseudo-latex mask. I have Furazone ointment that has frozen and melted several dozen times throughout the year.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, I have that. I have several sparkling new clean leg wraps that have never left the package.
Got that.
And a couple of empty Reese's Peanut Butter Cup wrappers. That's
okay.
What I've got in my emergency kit.
I really appreciate that, and I love that. That's very funny because it's time to tune it up. It is time to go and get some, maybe put it in a kind of more of a temperature-controlled environment because vet wrap does melt to itself, and it can be incredibly sticky and difficult to pull apart once it has melted to itself. But I would like to, my resolution will be to, I have a thermometer and a stethoscope and those kinds of things because I have a horse that colics quite a bit. And I would like a stethoscope that is not meant to be used on a child doll, okay? My stethoscope, it's like the worst. You can actually, I think you can talk into it. And you know how when you talk into a stethoscope, you know, it really deaf makes the person deaf? Like, it's like, that's too loud. My stethoscope doesn't do that. I don't think, you could yell into it and it wouldn't hurt my ears. So I would like to get a better stethoscope to listen to my horse's belly and to get his heart rate. But, yes, maybe clean out the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup wrappers, Jennifer, and replace them with some sort of sticky gauze.
With Oreo cookies.
It sounds like you've been pretty lucky for your horse to not have any injuries this year. Just keep it up. Keep up the good work. The next, number four resolution is, Glenn, this one's directed at you. Totally at you.
No, Frankie. Frankie. It's directed at Frankie, not me.
You and Frankie Lovato. Resolution number four, resolve to manage your horse's weight. And it doesn't mean it has a weight problem so far, Glenn. Resolve to manage your horse's weight. Understand how the diet affects their health. And obviously, weight problems can go either way. Too skinny, too fat. I've got one that's both at our house, so it's a constant, like the thoroughbred, oh my god, we shovel feed to it, and I swear, my warm blood, I could actually take a handful of pellets into my hand, put it in front of his face, and just blow the pellets into his bucket, and what he gets would still make him fat. So So we get more exercise. Yeah, but
we always have that battle with Beaker, and for 9 months of the year he's in a muzzle, and he's been without his muzzle. But now they're putting the big round bales out, and I swear that Beaker can eat an entire half of one of those big round bales by himself in about 2 days. He goes out there, doesn't say hi to any of the other horses, goes directly to the round bale, and when you come back in the evening, he's still at the round bale. He has not moved.
Oh, boy. Poor thing.
Yeah. He looks good. He looks good now. You know, he looks pretty good because, you know, the grass doesn't have the nutrition. But I got to warn everybody that we've had more colics in the past week at our farm. When you got the, like here in the south, when the grass starts turning bright green before it dies here in the winter, is the worst time for colics because the grass has so much sugar in it, and you really just have to be careful of colic this time of year. People don't think of that. They think of colic in the spring. They don't think of colic in the fall. But I can't tell you how many stories I read over the holiday weekend. Another one up at what's the name of Boyd's Farm up there in Pennsylvania?
True Prospect, yeah.
True Prospect had another colic death just over the holiday weekend. So just that was just a word of caution. Be careful. Watch for that this time of year.
Oh, absolutely. And the final resolution number 5 from thehorse.com is resolved to recognize all aspects of the equine community. And, you know, getting down to brass tacks, I think we could all do a little bit better at this. You know, we get so focused, and me, I'm definitely guilty of our sport. And with my sport is eventing. And I get so focused on it and so, you know, kind of narrow-minded that you forget that there's other organizations out there, and not just eventing. There's, you can respect your hunter jumper friends and your show jumping friends and your Western community, you know, the roping and the barrel racing and any sort of Western horse sport, the reining, of course. So respect that. But the other thing to do is find out what organizations are in need of donations. You know, we talk about off-the-track thoroughbreds a lot, and find a rescue that you believe in and make some donations to them and help them out. You know, do some research. Spend lots of time with your four-legged family members, as much as you do, probably more than your two-legged. And spend, you know, some time trying to figure out where you are best putting your money. And make some donations and reach out and help.
I'm surprised you didn't say this, Jamie, but resolution number 5, resolve to recognize all aspects of the equine community, they should have had in the Horse.com's article right there in the second sentence, and you can do that best by listening to Horses in the Morning because we cover it all.
You're absolutely right. We do that. And it's really been an eye-opener to me as hosting this show, being involved in all aspects of the horse industry. I've definitely learned a lot, and I plan on learning a lot more this coming year.
And one of the things that Jamie learns by listening to this show is how many riders and how many horses around the world do stupid things to get stuck. Well, sometimes it is not the rider or the horse's fault. Sometimes it is. The things they do to get stuck. But here is a new one. I thought we had covered about every way a horse could get stuck last year, but nope. Thanks to, I think this is in County Donegal, Ireland, they found a new way. This rider was riding with her friend on the beach, and apparently they were riding along, and all of a sudden her horse started to sink into the sand, had hit a section of quicksand. And the horse started to sink and went straight down into the sand to the point where this poor girl's feet were starting to go under the sand, and she was starting to get sucked in too. Just happened that fast. And apparently this is an experienced rider. She was riding a sort of drafty horse. Well, what happened was she realized she was in deep trouble. This apparently happened within seconds. And what she did to get herself out was she climbed over the horse's head to get onto firmer sand. But the horse continued to sink. She tried to help the horse by pulling him by his bridle, and then the bridle snapped. And then she could hear his breathing was getting heavy, and I could see that his eyes were so scared that he was sinking deeper and deeper. She said, "I was so close to tears. I was so scared. And then he suddenly stopped struggling. I became hysterical because I thought he had given up and was just going to go under the sand. The horse eventually managed to get his front two hooves out of the quicksand, but collapsed exhausted from the effort with his two back legs remaining stuck." Clyde, then the horse, then made one more lunge and managed to free himself, but he collapsed again and lay on the beach for several minutes. Eventually, the horse managed to get to his feet, and the horse got up, and the horse is fine to this day. But how terrifying is that?
Oh, my gosh, that's horrible. And we all have a dream of riding horses on the beach. I never thought you would fall in quicksand on the beach. That's just you're having a bad day. I mean, your karma is really jacked up. If you're riding horses on a gorgeous beach and you fall into a quicksand hole, holy cow.
She did say
terrible.
That she was glad that it wasn't a child walking on the beach that day, because the child would have just been gone, you know. So she did say that, but how do you like that? That'd make your day. And there's something else real quick here before we get into our competition. There's 180 tribes gathering in your neck of the woods out there in Arizona. There's 180 tribal nations from all over the world that joined together in this annual event called Thunder in the Desert to celebrate more than 10,000 years of existence. The event first came to Tucson in 2000, has been held every 4 years since. It's sort of like the Olympics of the Native Americans and tribes really around the world, and it includes equestrian events, and you can go watch it. You can actually go out, starts on I think it starts Friday and then goes through January the 8th, and so you can actually go out and watch this event, and they have something new each day, and there's a website that you can click on to find out more about it. Just search for Thunder in the Desert. Happening right there near you, Jamie.
That's very cool. Hey, before you go and continue to talk about nonsense, I am ready to hear your goals for 2012. You have been very quiet about this. You have not. You said I don't do resolutions. Well, we're not calling it resolutions. It's the goals of 2012. I can start because I have.
Why don't you start? That'll give me extra time.
That means you're not going to pay attention.
Go ahead.
You're going to be Googling. All right, I'm going to quiz you at the end of this on what I said.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so one of the fantastic Christmas presents that I did ask for, that my husband got me, is an elliptical machine. You know, honestly, when do we ever, when you own a farm, have time to go to a gym? And to be completely brutally honest, I have put on 10 pounds since I got married. And that is just unacceptable. Just completely unacceptable. It's like I
You're
got married
that's all
and
it was.
It's like you got married and I quit trying, you know? So I am not going to let my husband have extra me to love anymore. I bought an elliptical. Actually, Chad got it for me for Christmas. So he,
you know, I actually created a name for that. You know how you have the freshman 20 when you go into college? All the girls gain 20 pounds when they go into college. I call it the honeymoon 10. You gain 10 pounds immediately after the honeymoon. It just happened. It's the way it is.
It's sad that I worked so hard to fit into that wedding dress, and now there would be no chance of me even getting it halfway zipped up my back. So the whole extra 10 pounds is going to have to leave, plus maybe another 5. I've got the elliptical. It is currently, no excuse, because it is currently parked in front of the television in my living room, and I will not put clothes on it. It will not be a hanger for my purse. It is going to actually be used. I did 12 minutes the other night, and now I'm going to move it up to 15, and incrementally we are going to get tougher. You're not
okay,
fine.
I have a prediction for 2012, and that is that thing's going to need dusted by about March.
You know, I've got to tell you that I got it off Craigslist, and the little short round people that we purchased it from had actually to clean the dust off before we put it into the truck. So it's used,
I see this.
And it has been barely used.
I see the same fate for it.
Oh, no. I'm serious. This is going to happen. The other goal that I have is my horse goal. My personal goal is to use the elliptical and lose a little bit of that 10 pounds. The horse goal is kind of big, Glenn. It's kind of big.
All right,
and
I'm ready.
This is kind of a serious goal because it's a lifetime goal. And, you know, they say that if you announce your plans, the way to make God laugh is to announce your plans. Well, I'm just kind of aiming towards this, so don't change anything. I've tried to go training level eventing. I competed training level eventing when I was much younger on my first horse that evented. Now, this last, my warm blood that I've had, he has not been able to stay sound to go up to training level. Well, now I have Jet, Fighter Jet, my thoroughbred, and he competed in two beginner novices. We moved him up to novice. So my goal is to do maybe two or three more novices and move him up to training level. The goal does not end there. Training level, 3-day. Training level, not Rolex. Training level, 3-day, next November, Galway Downs. What do you think?
Might be a little ambitious.
Well, it's ambitious because it's a goal. It's not supposed to be something easy. So I'm hoping that by next November, mark it, it is at my time, it is 8:21 on Monday, January 2nd. I am aiming to Galway Downs in November, California, training level 3-day.
If you make it to training level 3-day at Galway Downs, Jennifer and I will come out and watch you.
No kidding.
There you go.
Will you groom for me? Because I need somebody to ice him down in the 10-minute box. That would
sure.
be great. All right. So
sure.
if I make it to the Galway Downs training level 3-day, you and Jennifer are on the plane, and you will be my groom.
Okay. That's a deal. That's a deal.
Oh, my
God. Bring
God.
Your dusty elliptical machine along to the...
So basically, you're saying that none of these things are going to happen. Screw
no,
you!
No, I didn't say
I'm
that.
Gonna do
I,
it.
I think that you could. We'll have to see if your horse is ready. Of course, that's what it all depends on with those kind of goals. But I'm not. I we'll see. Now, it's so funny that you say that losing weight was yours because mine also involves food, but the other way. Apparently, I want to make us gain weight because one of my goals, because you know I like to cook, but I get in these ruts about cooking the same thing all the time. I'm sure other people out there listening have that too, where you go, oh, I've been cooking the same thing all the time for the last 10 years. So my goal was to actually open one of the 25 cookbooks. I must buy 5 cookbooks a year. And I cannot tell you the last time I cooked from a recipe in a cookbook. So one of my goals this year was at least once a week to open one of the cookbooks that has I'll have to dust off and to make something from the cookbook. So now I could resolve to make something healthy, but that's never quite as fun. So your goal is to lose weight. Apparently mine is to get us fat.
Well, cooking healthy is one thing, Glenn. I mean, you're not going to have a recipe on how to deep fry corn. You know, it's like, don't buy recipes on how to deep fry
Jamie,
any better.
Jamie. We went to Ramsay's over the holiday, too. And you know Ramsay's is one of the famous diners here in Lexington. Everybody that comes into Lexington for Rolex has to go to Ramsay's. It's the place the locals go. And guess what I had there the other day? Deep-fried corn on the cob. It's funny you say that.
That's not going to help you lose weight or be healthier.
Crispy. The kernels were crispy. I had never had deep-fried corn on the cob again. But if there's a way to make things fattening, Ramsay's will find it. And deep-fried corn on the cob is one of those ways. It was all crunchy on the outside. And then guess what they put on it? You're going to love this. Parmesan cheese on the corn on the cob.
Dude, I was joking when I said fried corn. So, that is go ahead and buy cookbooks. Do whatever you want. Here's what I do when I cook dinner. This is what happens, and maybe you can try this too because you are Glenn the Geek. You take your iPhone or you take your just laptop and put it in your kitchen and set your laptop or your iPhone on Google next to your refrigerator. You open up your refrigerator and you look in and you say, okay, I have some noodles, I have some garlic, I have some olives, and I have some papaya. And you type that into Google. Just type what you have into Google, and somehow in the magical world of Google, a recipe will pop up with garlic papaya pasta with cilantro or whatever else you have. It's amazing. There's a recipe for everything. I don't buy cookbooks anymore. I just Google.
I love having cookbooks, though. So there's my resolution. And, of course, the other one I assigned to you was to help me be more organized and make sure I stay on that. That was, see, I got you involved in my resolution.
So hey, far, I'm failing. Because you are a hot mess this morning.
Let's. We're running out of time. We have to start our words with friends game. We're going to chat. We've challenged each other. We're both newbies at this. We both suck at it. And I think we're going to be a good competition for each other because, you know, I just resigned by the first game I tried to play with my sister-in-law, Lynn, because she's, like, super smart. And it was 400 and some points to, like, 125. How people can put in three letters, come up with the word, and get 50 points is beyond me. So I'm really excited about our game playing because I think I might have a chance to win, at least a little bit. But I'm going to make it tougher on us. We'll do a daily report here on what the score is. But also, the words that we play, we have to somehow relate to horses. So whatever word you play, you have to somehow relate it back to a horse. Now, it can be very creatively. You can very creatively relate it back to a horse. And that's where the funny part comes in. So we'll report on what words we played that day and how we related it back to horses. What do you think?
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start this game, and my first
I did already.
Word,
I already said I challenged you already.
Well, I already challenged you, and I've already done the first word. You told me I was going first.
Okay.
So I sent you my first word, and the first word that I have found is cease. I kicked butt on this one, okay? I was delivered some really good vowels. C-E-A-S-E. Cease and desist, biting me, Jet, like he did day before yesterday, biting my recently acquired love handle that is sitting in the 10-pound zone that
is
I have
Is this where the
on.
Motivation came in?
This is where part of the motivation, I'm like, if I didn't have love handles, there would have been nothing to bite. So cease biting the love handles that I should cease to have. There is your first word, play on, my friend. Game on.
All right, I see that now. I see it on my phone. So Jamie's in the lead with 16 points, and we'll report in tomorrow how we are doing with our game of equestrian words with friends. That's it for today, Jamie. First show back. Happy New Year, everybody. Keep it safe today. Wear your helmets and everything. And Jamie, say goodbye.
Everybody, please. Have a wonderful day. Go ride your horse. I'm going to try not to sweat too much in the 80-degree temperatures that I'm having on January 2nd here in Phoenix, Arizona. And remember, set the appointments to go spay, neuter, and geld. Happy New Year.
Hey, Jamie, you can't use the heat as an excuse not to get on that machine. Man.
I'm using my air conditioning in January. I'll do it.